After Ryan McNeely gave a sermon a couple of weeks ago, people started talking about prophecy. A young lady came up to me and asked about prophecy, and I looked up some of the scriptures. This woman's mother also came up to me, and she was a young lady. And she mentioned the prophecies about sermon, that they listen to sometimes, that the church doesn't talk about prophecy that much. John May, who I went to church with in Muncie for years, said I was one of the few ministers that spoke on prophecy. So I thought I'd give a sermon on prophecy and explain to you what God says is the purpose of prophecy. When I wanted to come into the church, I wanted to know that this was the right church. The Jehovah Witnesses thought they were right. The Seventh-day Adventists thought they were right. The Catholic Church, the Protestant churches all thought they were right. But since Mr. Armstrong always talked about prophecy and was foretelling the future, I decided to prove the church through prophecy. Now, one day, my wife took our son to a Little League ball game, and she ended up sitting beside a black lady. And my wife never talks religion in particular. She believes her faith and she believes her religion. But she started talking to this lady and she found out this lady went to the Worldwide Church of God. So she got her name and address and brought them home to me. And I went to visit this lady. I think her name was Mathis. I never did see her too much after that because it still took me a while to come to church. I knew the Sabbath was right, but Every three months, Mr. Bold would call and say, "You keeping the Sabbath yet?" And I said, "No." 3 months later, he called again. 3 months later, he called again. 3 months later, he called again. It wasn't easy for me to close the business and keep the Sabbath, so I didn't do that. So I wanted to know about prophecy. I went over to this lady's house, and I went through all of her magazines, and I found a magazine that said, Plain Truth Magazine, 40 foretold 22 years ago, and it was written in 1956. And the papers all wore out, but I made a copy off of it because I was going to prove the Bible, that I didn't want to go to the right, wrong church, and I wanted to prove this church was right. So this, here's the starting, this says, how to know this is the work of God. Scripture is full of warnings that false ministers and false prophets. The world is filled with such men and organizations today. Out of this Babylon of confusion, God must somewhere have his work today. How do you recognize it? Here is a test Jeremiah was inspired to give. The prophet that prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then you shall know that the Lord has sent him. Jeremiah 28:9. This is how you can know who is preaching the truth today. When that what he says comes to pass. Now the Old Testament prophets have already spoken. Their words are written in the Bible. But who today understands what the prophets foretold? Well, only the ministers who the word of God comes to pass, who are appointed and guided by God to preach it. Now, here in the earliest record of this, in June and July of 1934, it says, what is going to happen? Scripture prophesies two great militaries arise in the last days. The revival of the Roman Empire of a federation of 10 nations in the territory of ancient Rome. And that 10 nations is important. Now this was revealed to Mr. Armstrong in 1934. How did he see that? How did he know that there'd be 10 nations? Well, we'll see that in a minute. And the other territory would be Gog and Magog, possibly China and Japan. Now, I came into the church and was baptized, and most of you will understand this. I was baptized on April the 1st, 1948. And that's, all of us know why now. Now, there's always an importance in dates. But I understand why I was baptized on April the 1st. Now, I heard a tape by Mr. Armstrong when I was in the church. That would have been in 1968. This tape was made in 1946. And he said that while Germany was laying in ashes, Germany would rise to lead a 10-nation European empire. Now, I'd have gave up on it with Germany laying in ashes, but it did rise. Germany rose. And then when Germany rose, a wall went down the middle between Eastern Europe and Western Europe. Russia controlled Eastern Europe, controlled East Germany and the Eastern. And the West Germany, the West Europe was free. Now, men realized that. Then, in 1950, Mr. Armstrong said, before Russia is ready, the world would be stunned to see a German emerge suddenly in a power never equaled by Hitler, a union of 10 nations in Europe, probably including some of the present puppets of Russia. Now, remember, half of Europe was controlled by Russia. In 1952, the plain truth, Russia may give East Germany back to the Germans and will be forced to relinquish her control over Hungary, Czechoslovakia, and parts of Austria to complete the 10 nations. Now, in 1989, the wall come down. Mr. Armstrong died in 1986. He would be screaming to the high heavens when that happened. So the wall came down. What he foretold in 1950 and 1952, that five nations, with some of the nations, would have to leave Eastern Europe and become the Western Europe. And we'll get into that in just a little bit on why that was to happen. Now, years later, I saw scripture that God said prophecy was the way to know who was God's minister and God's church. Now, I did it just because I just didn't believe what I was reading, and I also one day I was running service calls as a TV serviceman, and I just had to quit and go home. And I might have told you this before, but I knew what my mind said, but I knew what my body didn't want to do, and I didn't want to close my business on it. But now here, we'll turn to Isaiah 41. In verse 21, and we'll read 22 and 23 here. In verse 21, this is the King James Version. God says, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. So he was challenging false gods. In verse 22, I'm going to read this in a translation here. NIV. It says, bring in your idols. Show us what you have foretold to happen. And let's see if it come to pass. So God says to the idols, to the false ministers, tell me what's going to come to pass. Let me look and see if it come to pass. And then it said at the last part of verse 22, and declare us things to come. Verse 23, show things that are come to hereafter that we may know that you are gods, that you do good or do evil, that you may be dismayed and behold it together. So God is telling them, if you want to know the true church and the true God, the churches should be able to foretell you what was going to happen. You can look and see if it did happen. Mr. Armstrong foretold the wall would come down, and they would unite, and it did. Then tell me what's happening in the future, and let me watch. And that's what we are doing today. I say we, the United, Living, Flurry, all the news is what's going to happen, and we are to look for 10 nations going together. Now, in verse 24, it says, behold, you are nothing, and your work of naught. You're an abomination as he that's chosen you. So if you can't do that, you're nothing. The religions are wrong. You need a church that can show you what's going to happen. In verse 26, who has declared from the beginning that we may know, and before No, and before time, that we may say he is right. Tell us ahead of time. And what are we looking for now? Let's see if here's an article that I cut out today. Prophecies have long foretold that just before the return of Jesus Christ, 10 kings or group of nations with links to the ancient Roman Empire will surrender their sovereignty to a single European leader and play a major role on the world stage. Daniel 2, 40-44, Revelation 17, 12-14. This breakup of the EU, because the EU looks like it's going to break up now, could lead to the fulfillment of these prophecies. See, the EU right now has 28 nations in it, 27 or 28. And I don't remember back at that time, but when he's talking about there was going to be 10 nations, and they started with 6, then they got to be 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and went clear up to 27 or 28. But I can tell you now from God's Word, and from that it's been foretold since 1934, there'll be a 10-nation European empire. This EU will start to fall apart, but there will be 10 nations. They go together, and Germany will be leading it. And when you know you're in the right church when it does that. So this is what our church is preaching, Living's preaching, and I'm fairly sure that Fleury's preaching, but none of them found that knowledge on their own. God revealed it to Herbert W. Armstrong. And they can read the scriptures, and God opens our eyes. But God didn't show it to Fleury, He didn't show it to United, and He didn't show it to Meredith. He revealed it to Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. In verse 28, for by behold, and there was no man, even among them, there was no counselor, that when I asked of them could give an answer. Nobody could give an answer. Tell me what's going to happen in the future, and let me watch. And I've been watching. As I say, I wanted to prove through the church, and then I finally did, and I came into the church. In verse 29, behold, they all are vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are nothing. So no other churches look and see who foretells the future. All you got to do is ask, tell me something that was going to happen, and let me see if it happened. Mr. Armstrong told you that wall would come down, those nations would go together, and they did. So he foretold it, and I seen it happen. Now, did God foretell in the Bible the history from Nebuchadnezzar to the coming of Christ? Turn to Daniel 2. And verse 28. Daniel 2, verse 28. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king of Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. So here's God revealing to the king Nebuchadnezzar what's going to be in the last days. Now, just this is written with us, but if we look at verse 21, and he changed the times and the season, he removed kings and he sets up kings. Who's going to get to be our president? The one that God wants in there. One God's to fulfill what's going to be fulfilled. It isn't going to be our voting or what we intend to do. Now, Deuteronomy 28, in verse 31, he said, Beelzebub, O king, you see this great image. Just a second. I didn't find this great image till last night. I looked and looked and looked and looked. But there's the image our church has always used. This is the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and the statue. Head of gold, and the chest was of silver, and Rome, but I'll cover that. Rome was the two legs. But let's go through here first. Verse 32, this is the image. The head was of fine gold, his breast and his arm of silver, his belly and his eyes of brass. His legs was of iron, his feet was part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till thou a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, and which were of iron and clay, and they broke into pieces. Then was the iron and clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken into pieces, and then become like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And when the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them, and the stone that smote them for the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Then in verse 36, this is a dream, and we will tell you the interpretation. Verse 37, know thou, O king, the King of Kings, for the God of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power, and strength. And verse 38, I'm going to read the last part, and he has made thee king over them. Thou art this head of gold. Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. This isn't in color, but he was the head of gold. And then he says, another kingdom inferior to you shall rise, and a third kingdom of brass which shall bear rule over the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. Now God expects you and I to do something. Oh, he shows you who's the head of gold is. How are you going to know about these others? Well, you can do your research, but the second one was the Persian Empire, the third one was the Grecian Empire, and the fourth one, the two legs, was the Roman Empire. And then in 41, without soles to feet and toes with part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. In verse 42, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, as this kingdom shall be partly strong and partly divided. So this, it's a kingdom. These 10 toes are a kingdom. And who foretold that in 1934? Mr. Armstrong said there'd be a 10-nation European empire. He knew it would happen. And of course, it's in the process of happening right now. And in verse 44, and in these days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, for it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, it shall stand forever. So we have four kingdoms here. We have the Babylon, Media Persian, Greece, and these two legs were Rome. Now, according to that picture, those two legs are Rome and the 10 toes are Rome. That means the Roman Empire has existed from the time of Greece when they came in, the Roman Empire. It's existed down through our time, and it's going to be existing in our time. Now, if you look at history, can any of you tell me where the Roman Empire is today? You know, well, how do we know where it is? But it says in the days of these last 10 toes, Christ is going to come and break up the 10 toes. Well, looking at history, we don't see the Roman Empire lasting down today. But God's word says it was. It says, well, Christ will come into existence as the 10 nation. Now, if this Bible is literal, and if it's true, and if it has to exist down through the 10 nations, even though you might not see it, but God will show you if you want to know. But he wants you to do some research. But it lasted down through the 10 nations. Now, let's go to, remember now, it says in verse 44, and the days of these kings, the 10 toes, the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. When he does it, these others are all going to be gone. The kingdom of God is going to be set up on this earth. And he's going to fight the Roman Empire. He's going to fight them 10 nations. Now let's look and see, can we prove those 10 nations? Can we prove that the Roman Empire existed down through time? Turn to Daniel 7. But Daniel 2 had four kingdoms. The fourth one was Rome. And they will last down till Christ comes as the 10 nations. Now, in Daniel 7:3. And he has here, and these four beasts came from the sea, diverse one from another. So here's four beasts that come up. Verse 4, one was like a lion. Verse 5, the second one was like a bear. The third one was like a leopard. And the fourth one, after this I saw in verse 7, in the vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and exceedingly strong. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue of the feet of it. It was diverse from all of the other beasts and before it, and it had 10 horns. Who are these? You gotta let the Bible interpret the Bible. Look at verse 17. These great beasts, which are four kings that's going to rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Now wait a minute, in Daniel 2, it said them iron legs were there. Christ was going to smash the 10 toes and the kingdom was going to last forever and ever. Now it says the saints are going to control that nation. Now, for what I want to do here, so Daniel 2 tells of four nations and the saints smash them. Let's look at, I want to go through something for young people. Yeah, but you do not want to be in this church just because your dad's in it. or your brother's in it, or your family's in it. You want to prove it's God's church. You want to prove that what the Bible says is true. And then once you know that, you know that living by God's word, I closed my business on Saturday, and I surprised them all. One time I was at a meeting, and this guy said, "What is your goal in business?" And I said, "Well, I was doing $800,000. I said, "I want to make $1 million in business." And this guy got his calculator out. "Up and open on Saturday, and you'll do it." Because I was closing the busiest day of the week. But I finally had to do it because God told me to do it. Didn't want to do it. But I said, "No, I don't want to do it for that reason." And there's another interesting story with that I will tell you. I might have told you before. But this guy owned half or three-fourths of a town. He owned all the apartments. He owned the business and everything. And he said when he got up in an airplane, he got depressed. He looked down and seen what he didn't own. And I told him, when I get up in an airplane, I look down and rejoice because I'm going to inherit the earth. You know, I'm going to own it. With Jesus Christ, I'm going to own it all. I didn't convert him, though. Didn't try. But it's for you young people, you have to prove what we're saying, and it's right. Now, I want you to turn. This is for your benefit. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, because some of it you might not realize this. Now, remember, in Daniel 2, Christ smashed the 10 toes. In Daniel 7, the saints possessed the kingdom forever and ever. Well, how can they both do it? Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Now, this is the 4:13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." We don't want you to be ignorant about this subject. "Concerning them which are asleep," or those that are dead, "that you may sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus," those that have God's Holy Spirit, they're God's saints, that's what they're called in the Bible, "God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." And most of you have heard this, but I got to get on Joyce. Joyce says she wants to live until Christ comes. I said, "I don't care if I die." And the reason is, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, there, and the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So if I'm dead and you guys are alive, I'll on the way up. "Hi, Jack." You know, then I'll wave at you. But if God wants me alive until then, and he must, I don't understand why I lived through the double bypass surgery that I had, but I tease people and I tell them that Satan and God hadn't decided who wants me yet. So they're just going to leave me here to see what I do. But here, notice in verse 16 again, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall first." Now, rise first. Now, we know that Christ comes at the seventh trump, so he talks to hear the trump of God. Verse 17, "Then we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another this word." So when Christ comes, there's going to be a resurrection of Christians. They'll meet him in the air, then there'll be the wedding ceremony. Then what happens? Turn to Zechariah 14. And these verses here will end up explaining to you how the saints in Daniel 7 possess the kingdom forever and ever, and Christ in Daniel 2 smashes the 10 toes and possesses the kingdom forever and ever. It's because they're together. Christ, they're raising to meet Christ. And look at verse 14 in Zechariah 14. "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." Now I could go to back in verse 8, Acts 8 I think it is, or 2, Christ ascended to heaven and said, "Why are you standing there watching for?" He said he's going to return the same way he left, to the same place. So he left Mount Olivet and went to heaven. The Bible is like a glove that fits. But it's here a little and there a little. It's not all written together. Look at the last part of verse 5. "And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints are going to come with him," which we just covered in the resurrection. And when Christ comes, the Christians are resurrected, those that have the Holy Spirit. But we don't have to worry about the rest of the world. It says in the Bible, after 1,000 years, the rest of the dead will be rotten. My parents aren't burning in hell forever. There'll be a time that they'll say, well, Gordon was right. Then I'll be able to teach him and teach him God's word. So the Lord shall come and all the saints shall come with him. And in verse 9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day there shall be one Lord and his name one. And verse 11, and man shall dwell in it. There shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. We're the ones that's going to make America great. Where'd it go? Ah, there it is. Somebody moved it back. It's not Trump. Christ comes on the seventh trump, not this trump. But we are the ones that's going to make it right. It's not this Trump. He's not going to do it. God's going to put in there who he wants. And by the way, about 2 weeks ago, they gave me an early Father's Day gift. And this is what my early Father's Day gift was. But I have never been really interested in politics because I haven't voted in 48 years. I knew the system was crooked, but I did get real interested now when Trump is defying everything and people are still voting for him. And he says the system is crooked. It's far more crooked than I ever thought it was. I thought if you voted, you had a say-so. No, the delegates decide who it is. You don't have any say-so, and you never did. The Republican Party or the Democrat Party. And he's going against all of them. So I thought all of you wanted to know, we're the one that's going to make America great, not this Trump. Now, look at verse 16. When Christ comes and the saints will come with him, in verse 9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth, the saints will be there no more, and there shall be only one Lord. In verse 11, man shall dwell in it, there shall be no more utter destruction. Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Not just will America be made great, we're going to make the world great. We're going to bring the world to peace. And we're going to do it by obeying God's laws. Look at verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem will even go up from year to year to keep, to worship the King and Lord of hosts and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Everybody is going to come up and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. You can't talk them into it now. You know, when God calls them and God's got a time to call them, God will call my wife when he, you know, I got to thinking, what if I ever talked her into coming and she didn't really believe? You know, let God call her when to come. And I've got a wonderful wife. You can tell by looking at me. She picks these out and has them hanging up. And I used to, and I think I told you this before, I used to get my own clothes and wear them. And so I was going out the door. She said, are you going to wear that? I said, no, I was just testing you. So then she just hangs my, any time I go to church, she doesn't do it any other time, she has my clothes hanging there for me to put on. And I always told people I wore this bright tie to keep me awake during services. I don't know about during the sermon, but it might help to also do that too. All nations are going to come up and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We are going to be ruling and bring this world to peace. Now, turn to Revelation 20, verse 6. Now, I'm going through this more for the young people. You've got to see this is what the Bible says. Not your dad said so, not your brother, your sister, your mother, or your father, or a friend. You've got to know the Bible says it, and you've got to have the mind of Christ. This Bible, God says, and I think it's Isaiah 28:10, but I'm not sure. It's written here a little and there a little. It's not written in order. So we have to go back and fill it in. But if you know where this is, then you know that these things are going to happen, that it will happen. But in Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. So there's more than one, right? If there's going to be a first resurrection, there's got to be a second one. And in the verse just before, in the second resurrection, will be the rest of the dead. But here it says, Blessed and holy is he who takes part in the first resurrection. No such a second death has no power. So we're going to have eternal life forever. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now I'm going to add a little verse here. That includes men and women. You know, I've had a person mention to me that they didn't think the women was going to do it. But see, what you don't realize is we're going to marry Christ. Men are going to have to become the bride along with you. And we're going to have to learn obedience to God. So this includes men and women. They're going to reign with Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now turn to, where is it at here? It's covered it up. Revelations 5, verse 10. And you has made us from our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. When Christ comes and his feet land on Mount Olivet, we're resurrected and we're with him and we're spirit beings, and this vile body will be changed like unto his glorious body. 1 John 3:2 said, I don't know what I'm going to be like, but I know when he returns, I will be like him. You're going to have a glorified body like Jesus Christ. We're going to be able to rule under Jesus. We're not going to take over Jesus. Now let's go back to Daniel 7. Now, Daniel 7 and verse 7. See, we see now in Daniel here there was four kingdoms. And during the fourth one in verse 17, these great beasts which are four kings and shall rise out of the earth. In 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. The saints will be those that are resurrected with Christ. When Christ comes, we're coming with him. We're going to meet him in the air and end up being ruling this earth with him. But in Daniel 7, but again, we're going back to Daniel 2. It says that Roman Empire lasts all the way down to the feet. We haven't seen how that's done yet, but we're going to. It's explained in Daniel 7 and in verse 8, in the last part of verse 7. Well, let's read it all. And after this I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron. By the way, you notice the two legs were iron in Daniel 2? Here it has, the fourth one has great iron. It devoured and broke in pieces, and it stamped the residue of the feet of it, and it diverged from all, and there were all beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Okay, the fourth beast had 10 horns. What are those 10 horns? Look at verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. Verse 24, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. So the fourth beast has 10 kings that comes out of it. Roman Empire, it has 10 resurrections of the Roman Empire. But if we go on and read the rest of it, well, let's read verse 8 up here first. I considered the horns, and behold, there came among them another little horn, of whom there were 3 of these 10 horns was plucked up by their roots. So when they're plucked up, they're gone. We have 7 kingdoms left. That's going to last down until Christ comes. Now, in the last part of verse 24, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. So we have 10 resurrections of the Roman Empire, which represents the 2 legs. And 3 of them are subdued, so we still got 7 left. Now, who and what are these 10 horns? Let the Bible interpret the Bible, which we did. Catch up with my notes here. This still doesn't tell us who or when these 7 nations will appear. Now, let's let the Bible interpret the Bible. The Bible's here a little and there a little. In Daniel 2, Christ smashed the Roman Empire, the 10 toes. In Daniel 7, the saints smashed the fourth kingdom, and that was the Roman Empire, and we have the 10 to come. Now, somewhere in the Bible, if you notice that Christ fought Rome in Daniel 2, and he fought Rome in Daniel 7, if we can find anywhere else in the Bible whoever Christ fights, it's the Roman Empire. So let's turn to Romans, Revelation 17:1. And I learn a lot when I go through this, because this came more vivid to me when I was preparing this Bible study. I do it to try and help you and learn, but then I find out I didn't know all I thought I knew. There's a little more here. Look at 17. And there came one upon the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I'm going to show you the judgment of a great whore that sits upon many waters. But wouldn't a great whore sink if she was sitting upon many waters? What does a many waters mean? You let the Bible interpret the Bible. You go to verse 15. And he said, the waters which thou saw, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, multitude, nations, and tongues. So if you let the Bible interpret the Bible, and you should have the mind of Christ, that's what the Bible says in the New Testament. You have to develop the mind of Christ. You have to know where the Bible interprets the Bible. And so these waters, if we read that verse again, I'm going to show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many nations. Because it says that's what waters means. And then in verse 2, and with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, move this over a little bit. In verse 3, so he carried me away into the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. Now we have, he was sitting on the waters, which represents nations. Now this woman is sitting up on a scarlet-colored beast. And Daniel 7 tells you that who the beasts are, but we'll cover that here too. Full of names of blasphemy, and this beast has seven heads and ten horns. Now, I'm going to explain the ten horns first before I'm going to explain the seven heads. Look at verse 12. Let the Bible explain what it is. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, they shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now let's look what they're going to do. They shall make war with the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Remember we said earlier, whoever makes a war with the Lamb, with Christ, is Rome. And that's what we're going to bring out here. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of Lords. The first Lord with a capital L. Who is the little Lords? And he's King of Kings. First King is a capital K. We're going to be kings and priests in the world tomorrow. So here, and then it tells you what you got to do. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. We have to be called, because you can't come to God. Forget the verse, but it says you can't come to God unless God draws. Can't come to Jesus unless God draws you. And in Jesus, in Romans 15, I think it is, it says you didn't choose me. I chose you. You didn't have nothing to do with this. You're here because God chose us, and he thought we could make it. So you have to be called, then he has to choose you, and then you have to be faithful. I heard a sermonette on that one time. I'll think about who told that in a little bit. Now Tony gave a sermon, you got to have faith, and you got to be faithful. Now, but the point is, in Daniel 2, Christ fought the Roman Empire. In Daniel 7, the fourth beast, the saints possessed the kingdom forever and ever. Here, this seven heads and ten horns, the ten horns represent ten kings, which is going to fight the Roman Empire. How many did Daniel 2 have? Ten toes, ten kings. Five from Eastern Europe, five from Western Europe. How did Mr. Armstrong know the wall had to come down? He believed the Bible was literal. He had five of them in Eastern Europe and five of them in Western Europe. See, in Rome actually split. At one time, the capital in Rome was one leg, and the other one was Constantinople, was the other leg. So they had two capitals back in those days. So the book is truth, literal, and if you study it, and then follow it. And the purpose of prophecy, I know I'm in the right church. I might have some challenges, whether I am or not. There might be some things I have to come up with, but I know I'm in the right church. I know I'm in the church, and I don't mean it has to be this one, but they better be following what Mr. Armstrong said. He was the apostle. He was who was revealed to. It wasn't revealed to other people. And our churches are preaching what Mr. Armstrong taught. And we might not say that to other people because they don't know Mr. Armstrong. But they didn't know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John either. But they believed them. So you have to find out who's telling the truth. Who told me what was going to happen, and I looked and it did happen. Who's telling me what's going to happen today, and I'm looking and I'm seeing it happen. I'm seeing the 27 nations in Europe are going to fall apart, and you're going to see 10 of them survive. Now, I'll tell you something else Mr. Armstrong foretold. He said Britain would never be in the European common market, but they join. Then he said Britain will never be part of the 10 nations. They will not stay in the European common market. They're there now. Next month, they got to decide whether they stay or not. Now, they will not be a part of the 10. Now, there's 27 of them there. 17 of them might separate and have an economic do, but the part of the 10, Britain will not be a part of it. The Bible says so. It was revealed in 1934 that there'd be 10 nations to go together. So you have to know what this Bible says and what it brings it about. Now, let's go back in verse 3. So he carried me away into the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman. This woman had sat now upon a scarlet-colored beast, sure, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Well, we see the 10 horns are fighting Christ, so it's a Roman Empire. This judgment of this great whore that sits upon many waters is a Roman Empire. Now, look in verse 9. And here is a mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sat. So, at first, it's called waters. It's nations. It's called a beast. Now, it's called mountains. Then look at the rest of it. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen. 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must last a short space. And that one is to come is these 10 horns that fight Christ. So we know this is also the Roman Empire. Now, if you remember back in Daniel 7, there were 7 kings in that fight, and the last one's going to fight the Roman Empire. If you look here, there are 7 nations. There are 7. It says, and these are 7 kings. Why 5 are fallen? 1 is. Now, the one was revealed under Mr. Armstrong. Nobody understood this. There are 5 are fallen and 1 is. And we'll go through who the first 5 are fallen is, who the one is, and we're looking for the one to come. If you believe the Bible, you know it's literal. The other is not yet come yet. Now, I got time. I got to be sure I got time to get all this in. Who are these 7 kings which are fallen, and who is the one is? Now, Mr. Armstrong had an article on that. Well, no, Keith Stump wrote it, but it was written in 1984. The History of Europe and the Church, the Final Union. Now, I'm going to cover these. This is the name of them here, but I'm going to cover another book I've got. Justinian dreamed of restoring the Roman Empire. He accomplished it in A.D. 554. Now, but I'll cover that later. Healing the deadly wound administered to Rome, but his restoration was short-lived. Number 1. Charlemagne was crowned an emperor and restoring the Roman Empire, and then he died. Number 2. 962, Otto the Great revived Charlemagne's empire as the first German Reich. And then number 4, the great, when that went down, the Habsburg Emperor, Charles V, pursued tirelessly. Number 5 is Napoleon. Number 6 was Mussolini and Hitler. And that's when the one is revealed. There's one to come. But all we did here was read what Mr. Armstrong wrote. This is an interesting book. The Principality and the Power of Europe. And Free Medieval got this for me, and I started reading it, and I read this to, I hope I get my, since I've had this heart surgery, my memory on names wasn't too good before, worse now. But Mark's father-in-law, I showed him this book. And he said, he just read what Mr. Armstrong knew. I had this big bubble blowing up, and he stuck me with it. But Meredith was over talking to this man and asking him if he ever knew Mr. Armstrong. No, he didn't. The subtitle here is Britain and the Emerging Holy Roman Empire. Now, this man was a theologian and a politician. And the whole purpose of this book is to get Britain out of the common market. It was written in 1997, I believe. 1997. He wrote this book to get Britain out of the common market. And the reason he wanted him out, he didn't know what we had said, because I'll tell you what, he did his research. Now here's a nice thing about it. God wants us to research, but we can't research it all. But somebody else has. God is somebody that's done it for you. Mr. Armstrong did it for you, but this guy does it again. Here he says, but the Western Empire merely had become a ceremonial show for various German generals. Even that ended in 476 when the emperor was deposed, leaving the German kings governed with every proportion. Effectively, the Western Empire had fallen. Now, I'm going to give you, the barbarians come in. Remember the three was subdued? You look at history, the barbarians come in and took over Rome. And the Pope yelled for Justinian to come back and drive him out. And he come back and he drove out the barbarians, and then they set up the Roman Empire again. Now, after the fall of Rome, Constantinople and its emperor, that's the one leg, and the traditions of Rome's civilization was one dream, the recovery of the Western Providence and the restoration of the Holy Roman Empire. That's what they wanted to do. In 554, the Emperor Justinian succeeded in that restoration. He saw himself as God's agent. He destroyed the barbarians. And you have to, if you got, you get your history out and find out if there was, who the barbarians was. There were three that had fallen. He drove them out. He started destroying the barbarians and winning back the providence of the West, healing the division inflicted on Rome by the barbarian invasion in 476. He acknowledged the supremacy of the Pope in the East and the West. Now, I looked up the word for supremacy, superior to all others. He thought the Pope was over him. He was the emperor, but he thought the Pope was over him. And then he restored the Roman Empire. Five are fallen, one is, and one to come. In A.D. 800, now this is from a person, not in our church. He did the research for a completely different reason, and he came up to the same conclusion. In A.D. 800, Charlemagne, Charles the Great, a Roman Catholic, was crowned emperor, and he was emperor of Rome by Pope Leo III. Charlemagne received his crown from the Pope and was seen by the populace to equal a divine bestowal, conformed the perception that the imperial crown was a papal gift and the kingdoms of this earth belonged to the Bishop of Rome, and they were his to give and his to take away. Now, what day do you think he was crowned on? Christmas Day. Charlemagne was crowned by the Pope. Now, he ended up dying, and that was number two. Number three, in 962, Otto the Great revived Charlemagne's empire to the first German empire, and was crowned Holy Roman Emperor by the Pope. So we have Justinian, we have Charlemagne, and now we have Otto the Great. Then later on, he passed away, and then Habsburg. He was the head of the one party of the Catholic Church, had been crowned by the Holy Roman Empire. He had been crowned by the Holy Roman Empire. So the Habsburg was the fourth empire. The fifth empire was Napoleon. Now, Napoleon, too, dreamed of a resurrected European civilization. Now remember, in Daniel's 4, it says there were 7 left. 3 were subdued, there were 7 left. And it had a little horn there with it. Here when you go, and they fought Christ. Here you go in Revelation 17, these 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and 1 is to come, and the last stand horns fight Christ. It's the Roman Empire in Revelation 17. That's the thing that I couldn't prove to myself until I did this Bible study. And I know now, when I read Revelation 17, it's referring to the Roman Empire. And you should know that too now. Now, Napoleon had a dream of a resurrected Roman Empire. Now, being completely aware of the influence of the papacy, he concluded a concordat, which is an agreement with, between a physical and a church, an agreement between a pope and a secular government, in 1801, and he restored its official status in France. In 1804, he summoned Pope Pius VII to give him the highest religious significance to the announcement of the crowning of the first emperor of the French. What followed, 1,000 years after the pope had crowned Charlemagne in Rome, became one of the most symbolic acts in European history. Now, as Napoleon approached, all expected him to kneel before the pontiff, like Charlemagne, accepting the blessing from the superior party. He took the crown and put it on himself. He said, now I'm over the pope. But that time is when the Catholic religion went down. He seized the crown from the pope's hand, turned his back on the pope and altar, crowned himself. But in so doing, Napoleon made it clear that the church was in the hands of the state through the coronation went on to be concentrated by the pope. Napoleon also crowned himself with the Iron Crown of Lombardy, the great historic symbol of Europe, which had previously been worn by Charlemagne and Otto the Great. So, when I'm reading through this, this is not the church. This guy did a research for our benefit. And really, for my benefit, if he didn't do it for yours. And he went through and he covered the 5 are fallen, the 1 is, and the rest of the book is about the 1 to come. He sees that the Catholic Church is rising, and if Britain stays in it, they've got to give up their superiority. Britain will not stay in it. It will not be ruled by a 10-nation European empire. It will not give up its authority. So we have 5 are fallen, and 1 is. And the 1 is here, he goes on to say, German Empire started emerging in 1871, and it came along to Adolf Hitler and Mussolini. Though Mussolini has handed full emergency powers and transformed his government into a fascist dictatorship, he endeavored to make Rome once again the center of Western civilization, perceiving himself as a modern-day Caesar. Now, I was alive at this time, but, you know, I didn't know anything that was going on. He even abolished the handshake. Now, would have if you knew history. He abolished the handshake, and this was the handshake. Now, anybody that knew anything about the Roman Empire would know what he was doing. Because this is what you did in shaking the hands, and this is what Hitler and all of them did. He abolished the handshake, instituted the Roman salute. Now, this guy is just a theologian. And he's doing a research to tell Great Britain, get out of the common market. He was in politics once, and he was running for office, and the Pope said he wouldn't tell you who to vote for, but don't let him run. And they didn't, because he knew he wrote this book, and the Pope knew he wrote it. Now, the Roman Catholics, something had to be done towards having the papal question negotiations to the restoration of the Pope's temporal power. Now, like Mussolini, Hitler was a Roman Catholic by birth and needed to come to terms with the Vatican. He did so in 1933. This is how much we know about it. I was 3 years old. I wouldn't have known anything about it. But this history is always written for. In a concordat which gave his government an outward semblance of legitimacy through restriction, though relations were strained. In 1936, Mussolini declared the resurrection of the Roman Empire. Yeah. So here, another guy did our research for it. 5 are fallen. And 1 is, and it was revealed to Mr. Armstrong, Hitler and Mussolini, at that time. And he knew it. Then there is the 1 to come. And the rest of this book is talking about the Catholic Church will Britain will not get in it. They'll unite a 10-nation European empire. So, you have to do. God just tells you who Nebuchadnezzar was, head of gold. If you want to know who the other certain, the three nations are, you got to do the study. Now you can, that's not hard to find out. You can look up in the history of Nebuchadnezzar and it'll start telling you who it is. But this ought to become part of your mind and so forth. The five are fallen and one is, and let me see where my notes are. I think I'm about two or three pages ahead of them. Yep. Yeah, in 1936, Booth Lee declared the one is, the resurrection of the Roman Empire. Now, you could read it in our literature, but I like to see the same thing written somewhere else and prove our literature is right. And God has to open your eyes. It takes the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. Now, Adrian Hilton saw England was coming out of the Catholic Church and was going to lose its independence as a separate nation. He saw that. And then in the common market, the head nation will make the laws and the rules, and the other nine will have to follow. In June, England will have to make a decision. This June, it will stay in the European common market or get out. And it's called Britax. But see, I can follow these things. I know Britain's not going to be part of the ten. If there's a God in heaven, if Daniel 2 is right, God foretold that from Nebuchadnezzar, the four empires, the iron legs lasting down to Christ and Christ fighting them. He told you in Daniel 7 that that was 10 resurrections. Those two legs were 10 resurrections of the Holy Roman Empire. I just happened to see who's signing. She isn't doing this yet, is she? She's going to look at me, though. She's doing it now. That means you're boring. And I like to rat her about it. So in June, England will have to make a decision. Will it stay in the European common market? If you read the news, it's called the Brit X. Now, Herbert W. Armstrong said Britain would never be in the European common market. When they did, he said they wouldn't stay. They never would be a part of the 10 nations. There's 27 nations now, and it's going to be reduced to 10. And we can stand and watch it. And when it happens, and I told somebody one day, if somebody put a gun to my throat, and I just seen 10 nations to go together, and the church was in charge of it, and said, I'm going to shoot you, I said, pull the trigger. I'll be back in about 3.5 days and take care of the situation. So I'm not sure it's 3.5, but I know I'm coming back, and we'll handle the problem. So being gone right at that time, and I used to say that 20 years ago. In fact, the guy that led music, I knew him 48 years ago, if you believe that. I've been in a church 48 years on April the 1st. So, but I love prophecy. But prophecy isn't all. God said, if you want to know how to prove who God is, find out who told you what was going to happen and see if it happened. And then have him tell you what is going to happen in the future. And let's watch and see. Now, right now, all we got to do is wait till June to see what Britain does. Now, Britain might stay in the 17, but they will not be a part of the 10. I'm back to page 1. I'm done.